I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But I wanted to start with Tiger basketball. Rough weekend. Obviously, the Tigers entered Saturday's game with USF on a three-game winning streak and either just on the right side or just on the wrong side of the NCAA tournament bubble, depending on which bracketologist you prefer. Memphis was shorthanded on Saturday, but still an eight-point favorite at tip, and then the game started, and then Precious Achiuwa picked up two fouls early. Barely played in the first half, never got into a rhythm, then got hurt late, and the Tigers lost 75-73 inside FedEx Forum. It's a quad three loss to a team ranked 115th in the net. That's bad, bad, bad for the resume. So the Tigers are now 1-2 in quadrant one opportunities, 6-4 in quadrant one / quadrant two opportunities with two quadrant three losses on the resume. They're 17-6 overall, 6-4 in the AAC. If the NCAA tournament started today, they would not make the field. Needless to say, folks are freaking out. And let's be clear, even without James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries and Malcolm Dandridge, who didn't play because of a knee issue, Memphis is supposed to beat USF. USF played hard, but USF entered with a 10-12 record. It's the team that lost earlier this season to IUPUI and East Carolina. So losing to this USF team at home, it's rough stuff. It should not happen. But I will say, for whatever it's worth, I was in Penny's office about 90 minutes before tip-off on Saturday, and he was worried about this game. He knows he's limited without DJ Jeffries, and he knew he'd be down another front-court player in Malcolm Dandridge. And he told me that the games he worries about most are league games against experienced teams. He seemed to know, even 90 minutes before tip-off, that he's going to be in a fight. I don't think he was surprised that the game was tight. And by the time it was over, Precious Achiuwa and Lance Thomas were both out with injuries, just like DJ Jeffries and Malcolm Dandridge, which led to Memphis actually playing most of the final 5 minutes with five guards. Like, it might have been the smallest lineup any high major team has played all season. And so that the Tigers gave up an offensive rebound on a missed free throw late with that lineup, five guards, isn't the most surprising thing in the world. Frustrating, but not surprising. So, again, they lose 75-73. And the next two games are on the road against top 60 KenPom teams, Cincinnati first, then UConn. So things could get worse before they get better, and they might not get better. Which led to social media running wild, wild, wild all weekend. You know, when Memphis hired Penny, some folks asked, so how long do you think it's going to take for Memphis fans to turn on him? Well, we got our answer. We now know 23 games into his second season. Ugh. And I can't emphasize what I'm about to say enough. Memphis fans turning on Penny Hardaway right now is the dumbest thing in the world. And I should point out, it's not all Memphis fans, but it's certainly some. Like, we might find out someday that Penny just isn't cut out for this. But you are an absolute moron if you think what's happening right now is a reflection of the quality of the head coach. Because what's happening right now is the result of two things. Two things, and two things only. Listen to me. What's happening right now has been caused by two things. One, James Wiseman quitting the team midseason. And two, bad luck on the injury front. That's it. If you try to chalk this up to anything more than that, you're being dumb. And there are a lot of dumb people out there. So the reaction hasn't been surprising. I expected this. It's an unsurprising reaction, but still dumb. I got a tweet on Saturday night. I got a bunch of them. I got one from this guy named Scott. And here's what Scott tweeted at me. He said, have you ever seen a college team drop as far from preseason high to this? Can anyone think of one in history this bad? A team that was hyped in the preseason and then ended up where Memphis is right now. Can you think of one in the history of the world? Do you see what I have to deal with on Twitter, Bennett?
Yeah.
Just one person after another, anxious to share opinions, despite having no effing idea what they're talking about. Can I think of any college team in the history of the sport dropping this far relative to preseason hype? Yeah, forget history. I can think of one this season. North Carolina, number 9 in the preseason AP poll, 5 spots ahead of Memphis. Fast forward to today, North Carolina's 10-13, 89th at KenPom, 26 spots below Memphis. So I don't need the history of the sport. I just look around this season and find one. What are you talking about? How about Florida this season? 6th preseason AP poll. The Gators, who haven't endured key injuries and or departures like Memphis and North Carolina, sitting here 14-9, coming off a 17-point loss to Ole Miss. So this dude, Scott, thinks Memphis's drop is maybe the worst in history. It's not even the worst this season. And again, Memphis's demise is the byproduct of two things, and two things only. One, James Wiseman quitting the team midseason, and two, bad luck on the injury front. So I responded to Scott this way. I wrote, folks are so dumb about this Memphis situation. Context matters. Penny's best player quit. His third best player is likely out for the season. If any of you have a list of teams that have lost two of their top three players before February and still been awesome, please post it. I'm listening. So Saturday night, I tweeted that to 177,000 people at 9:26 p.m. And here we are, roughly 43 hours later, and still nobody has been able to come up with a team. Not even one. Somebody mentioned Kansas from last season because Kansas did lose two of its top three players last season, Yudoka Azubuike and Legero Vig. But still, that team doesn't quite fit the criteria I set because Legero Vig was still playing in February. I said lost two of the top three before February. But whatever. Let's look at what happened to Kansas after it lost two of its top three scorers midseason last season. At full strength, when healthy, Kansas was literally undefeated and ranked number 1 in the country. The Jayhawks never lost a game with Yudoka Azubuike in the lineup. Look it up. Then Doak got hurt in January. Done for the season. Then Legero Vig left the team in February. Never returned. And Kansas closed the season. This team that was number 1 in the country closed the season by going 6-4 in the final 10 games. Lost by double digits in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's Kansas, with a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Self. When he had his full roster, he had the best team in the country. When he lost two of his top three, he lost 40% of his final 10 games and got bounced by 14 points in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And that's what happened to Kansas after it lost its second and third leading scorers. Not its first and third like Memphis. Kansas lost some really good college players. Memphis lost the possible number 1 pick in the NBA draft. John Calipari, you remember him, right? He's been the head coach at Kentucky now for 11 seasons. He's been awesome. He's made the tournament every season, except once, back in 2013. Now, let me tell you about that team. That team was 8-2 in the SEC, ranked in the top 25, 18th at KenPom, heading into a game at Florida. And in that game, Kentucky's best player, Nerlens Noel, tore his ACL. Done for the season. Then Kentucky went 4-6 in its final 10 games. Dropped from 18th to 55th at KenPom. Missed the NCAA tournament. Went to the NIT. Lost to Robert Morris. And that's Kentucky with a Hall of Fame coach after losing its best player. Not two of its top three like Memphis right now. So if you're a Kentucky fan getting your jokes off, know this. Your coach has only lost his best player one time midseason, and when it happened, your team went to the NIT and lost to Robert Morris. And I say that with an enormous amount of respect for John Calipari. He's one of the greatest of all time. But that just underlines my point that losing your top player midseason is an absolute killer, even for established Hall of Fame coaches. Which brings me back to Roy Williams, Hall of Fame coach. He's won three national titles. His team was ranked 9th in the preseason AP poll. Started this season 6-1. Got a win over Oregon. Then Cole Anthony got hurt. Roy Williams, like Penny Hardaway, lost his best player. Then UNC immediately lost a home game to Wofford, which is worse than losing a home game to South Florida, by the way. UNC is 4-12 in its past 16 games. 10-13 overall, 3-9 in the ACC, tied for last in the win column in the ACC standings, and that's North Carolina with a Hall of Fame coach after only losing its best player, not two of its top three like Memphis right now. Even Roy Williams couldn't hold it together when he lost his best player. So here's my question for you weirdos. If Bill Self couldn't hold it together last season when he lost two of his top three players midseason, and John Calipari couldn't hold it together in 2013 when he lost his best player midseason, and Roy Williams couldn't hold it together this season when he lost his best player midseason, why in the world did you ever expect Penny Hardaway to hold it together this season when he lost two of his top three players midseason? If nobody can give me an example of another team that lived up to expectations or even made the NCAA tournament after losing two of its top three players before February 1st, why did you think Memphis would do it? Like, if I told you there's a bridge over there and people have been jumping off of it for decades, and literally every person who jumps dies, why would you think you could jump off and live? There's no precedent for it. Similarly, less tragically, but similarly, there's no precedent for a team being great after losing two of its top three players midseason. So being super mad when Memphis isn't is just about the dumbest thing in the world. What if I told you in November that in February you'd be playing USF? James Wiseman would no longer be on the team. DJ Jeffries would be on crutches. Malcolm Dandridge would be out. Lance Thomas would have to leave with cramps. And Precious Achiuwa would only play 18 minutes because of foul trouble and a late injury. How you winning that game? How you winning any game? It's hard to beat anybody under those circumstances. Like I've tried to explain many times, context matters. Judging Memphis right now, based on preseason expectations, makes no sense whatsoever. Judging Penny right now, based on anything, makes no sense whatsoever. Like my little buddy John Martin, he wrote a piece for The Athletic. And in that piece, he wrote that every team and coach has issues to overcome, and the good ones usually do. And I say this with all due respect to my little buddy. That's just not true. Not when the issues are this significant. It's one thing to lose a good player. It's quite another thing to lose two of your top three, including your best. Steve Kerr has won three NBA championships. Right now, tell me if this sounds familiar. He's coaching a team missing two of its top three players. They're 12-41. It's not Steve Kerr's fault that they're 12-41. They're 12-41 because they're missing two of their top three players. It's not Penny Hardaway's fault that Memphis is going the wrong direction. Memphis is going the wrong direction because it's missing two of its top three players. The roster Penny's coaching right now is nothing like the roster he was expecting to coach. He lost two of his top three players, including his best. And like I told you before, if even Hall of Fame coaches in recent years have found it very difficult, if not impossible, to overcome similar things, it makes no sense to expect a second-year coach to just breeze through, no problem, without issue. John Calipari couldn't do it. Bill Self couldn't do it. Go look at Roy Williams' record right now. Ain't doing it. To ask Penny Hardaway to do something those Hall of Fame coaches could not do is asinine. So be frustrated if you want. I certainly understand that. This was supposed to be a all-time great season, and it's gone the other direction for a variety of reasons. But if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at James Wiseman for quitting the team midseason, for quitting on his coaches and his teammates? Or be mad at whoever in this universe is in charge of dishing out bad luck? But being mad at the head coach is dumb. Literally no head coach would be able to overcome what Penny Hardaway is dealing with right now. And if you think I'm wrong, just give me the example of a coach who did it. I asked 177,000 people on Twitter for one Saturday night. 43 hours later, I'm still waiting for somebody to provide a suitable answer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.